Welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast, where we unlock the winning edge through conversations with industry experts and thought leaders. Each episode explores how transforming business through human experience creates real impact. Join us for actionable insights and fresh perspectives that inspire success. Follow, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite platform. The next episode could spark your next big idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast. Today, again, back for a great discussion together with Marilyn Sutton. Hi, Marilyn. How are you?
Hey, hi. Glad to be here, Greg.
Thank you very much for your time. Today, it will be an interesting discussion. We are going to discussing about strategies, how to work together with tough customers and tough employees. But as usual, before starting this topic, let's learn more about you, today's top player, Marilyn Sutton. Marilyn, could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, well, I'm Marilyn Sutton, and I work with companies that want to stand out as the business of choice for both customers and employees. You need to do that for both. And I've started my career actually as a little child because both my father and mother owned their own small business. My father had a little neighborhood bar. My mother had a tax company. So the background of my life was listening to customer experience stories and what to do and how to help deal with employees. So that was always in the background. And then when I started my consulting and speaking company training, that was very much ingrained in me as service, service, service. And also, how do you make it so people want to get up in the morning, go to work and come serve well and do a good job? So that was really important. And then in 2009, HarperCollins, which at the time was Amacom, they published my first book that I did with my co-author, Lori Vest. And it was called Who's Your Gladys? And Gladys was the difficult customer. And how do you make them an ally? And it was just a fantastic experience because for a year, I was interviewing companies from Singapore Airlines, hospitals, just every kind of company. We were able to go to the top leaders and all the way into frontline staff and see what they all had in common that made them stand out in customer experience. So it was just a fantastic experience doing that. And then that translates into the work I do now. And I love technology. So when we got hit with the pandemic, you know, one of the big core messages is adapt. And so I immediately got on Zoom and did all my trainings and keynotes and even big events over Zoom. So I think that's a real key because we got to keep those customers connected no matter what things throw at us.
Thank you very much. And not only connected with the customer, but also giving the opportunity to have these discussions because flying to your office would be a bit complicated. So from my point of view, and therefore for sure this great opportunity to have these discussions. Which values drive your professional life?
Ah, values. I love the topic of values because it really drives everything we do. And if I could give you three of them right now, my number one value is passion. I am so passionate about making a difference for my clients. I love seeing them go from good to great. I love helping them discover a new system that, wow, this works. That lights me up. And I do think that passion, especially if the passion is about caring for the people you're working with, it's contagious and it spreads. So that's my number one is passion. And then I'd say continuous improvement. That's the other one, is not being afraid to, you know, you're never done. You're never done. Once you're done, it's time to see what new things are coming up because there always is. So not being afraid to be curious. I guess that would be another word. It's keep your curiosity strong because that will tap you into things you might not have noticed otherwise. I also think it keeps you young to be curious. My mother is 103 years old, if you can believe that. I came late in life from her. And she is so curious that her mind is sharp. You know, and I think for all of us, our mind stays sharp and our work stays sharp when we stay curious. And then if I had one more, it would just be, it's probably the cornerstone of what I do, and that's communication, to really be a communicator, to know how to hit. If you're conflict avoidant, be careful because you cause more conflict. Conflict well handled produces wonderful results. We just need to be able to have the conversations and learn the skill set that makes, you know, something that is disruptive into something that really makes a difference. So those are three of mine.
Thank you very much. And I think we share some in common. Passion is a big topic. I think everybody listening to this podcast is also passionate about what we are doing. And we are curious to kick off this discussion together with you, speaking about pivoting strategies for tough customer and tough employees. And you said you wrote books, you did a lot of keynotes, big events, and it always starts with the story. And therefore, can you please share a story of a difficult customer interaction that was turned into a successful and what we can learn from that?
Oh, I'd love to. So one of my clients was a large insurance agency, and they were just distraught because the prices of insurance went up dramatically across the state, no matter what insurance company it was. It was hiked up. So what was happening is they were getting calls just pouring in from angry customers who were just furious with this big price hike. And they were yelling and they were saying, I'm going to find somebody else to work with and you've got to change this price. And the agents and even the leaders, they did what is in our human nature. You want to explain, you want to rationalize it. You want to, you know, go in there, you kind of feel defensive even. It's not my fault. There's nothing I can do about it. And they were saying all these things that only made things worse. And so I coached them to take a whole different approach. And it starts with two words that can just save a situation like this. And those two words are, you're right. You're right. You're right. The rates really did go up dramatically. And when you start with validating what they just said, it's disarming. And so immediately, you know, it was like, oh, yes, it is. And then, you know, when they feel, then you empathize. This is probably the last thing you wanted to see was these price hikes, you know, so you're empathizing, you're acknowledging. And we, as human beings, we don't tend to go there because what do we want to do? We want to fix it. We want to explain. And if you just stepped back and start with that empathy, start with what is this customer experiencing and put it into words. It sounds so simple, but it is the most number one thing you can do to help an upset customer calm down. And so from there, you want to always look at how can we benefit the customer? So what's the next thing to say? So I coach them to say, well, let's look. Here's what I can do for you. No, what you can't do is raise the price. Here's what I can do for you. Let's review your entire policy. Let's go through the whole thing and make sure that you're properly insured and there's nothing you don't need to be paying for so that we can make sure you're getting the best value. And you know what? Customers calm down. The agents gain confidence. And when I came back the next week, they were like, it's like a miracle. So it's how we communicate that changes the whole picture.
I really like that. And to show that I'm learning something, I start my answer with, Marin, you are right. And what you're saying, it's the reality. I was discussing with an insurance, not because they raised the price, always raising price, but for another topic. And we reviewed together the policy and we found out that I had a double insurance. And therefore, they were able to take out something from my insurance because I did a mistake. I checked that twice and I paid twice. And therefore, mm-hmm. I think this is really extremely important how the person on the other side really try to work and find solutions. And I know that you are coaching the employees, but you are also coaching the leaders, the team leaders. What practical steps can leaders learn to support this environment? Because as you said, these employees need to handle discussion with customers who are really upset. They have big problems and they are perhaps also under time pressure. What can you share?
Well, you know, I think leaders need to be coaches, because what happens in a lot of companies is leaders, outwardly to the customers, they're great, but then all their frustrations get taken out on the employees. And that's the worst thing we can do, right? Because that they're your internal customers. And we really need to focus on how can we enrich and support them in being effective. And one of the ways we can do that is to give them what they need. And what they don't need is, you know, if you do a yearly customer service training where you say, be nice, have a good attitude, and you're telling them everything they learned in kindergarten, they don't need that. You know, it's causes eye rolls and it's not effective. They need the specifics. So give them the strategy, the skill set, the talking points to help them, and let them role play it. Nobody likes to role play until they get successful at the role play. But sometimes you have to address what's uncomfortable to get comfortable. So I don't think I know that when you take the time to really go into the specifics, it makes a difference. And another thing is when your top leadership shares their good, bad, and ugly stories and how they overcame them, that is one of the best teaching points of all, because then you become human and they see where you maybe didn't do such a good job and what you would have done next time. You become transparent, and then they become more comfortable being transparent with you.
You shared that at the beginning, a yearly training. I think it's also extremely important to have regular trainings, perhaps smaller trainings, but regular. How do you tackle this topic?
The topic of training?
Yes.
Yes, in so many different ways. So right now I'm working with a company, and I sent in mystery shoppers, and we got the feedback there. And then I did focus groups with every employee, every manager, every leader. And we put that all together. And then we created a customer service committee with people from different departments that come together with me every couple times a month. And they are designing their customer service vision, not vision, but plan, their customer service plan, their service standards, based on all the feedback that we have received. And what's amazing is the buy-in is incredible. And part of what came through it was all the talking points people had trouble with. So that now can be done in small, quick meetings where you have a quick huddle and you cover one of those and share how you do. Like you said, it's a lot of little ones, not just one big one, that makes the difference. So that real commitment to preparing your staff, it's just so crucial.
What you're saying is mystery shopping, customer focus, having the employees, let's say, empowered to help and support this transformation. Did you some magic that you were able to convince the management to perform such programs, or how was it possible? Because I don't often see at top level this willingness to empower people to change things, because it means then leaders then need to give up something that they had for a long, long, long time.
Right. And this is where you really need to look at the facts of how this plays out. That, you know, if you want engaged staff, you got to listen to them. And they may know things you don't. They see things from a perspective you might not have seen it from. For example, you're way up at top and you make a policy change. And that policy change is going to cause all kinds of problems for this one department. If you had just tapped into that department, they could have told you, and it could have sidestepped a whole bunch of trouble with customers. It's a matter of really explaining, not just explaining, but showing case examples of what happens when we don't listen, when we don't engage them. And it hurts the bottom line. It hurts employee engagement and ultimately the customer experience.
I really like what you're saying, because you shared your last value. You said the cornerstone is communication. And now you're breaking that down in different pieces, is listening, to the people and helping others learning to listen. Basically, you share that these steps and these are very important and everybody should do them. But how are you able to convince or to help and to support these companies to have then the long-term view to continue this? What are, for example, resilience building practices you would recommend to help teams stay energized and motivated while dealing with these customer interactions, but also at the same time performing this continuously transformation?
Oh, resilience is a big thing. Resilient. This is where if you don't have the resilience, you burn out. And it starts with the leader as the prime example. I have a leader I worked with, and at the bottom of her emails, she writes, because she likes to send emails at 10 o'clock at night, at 12 midnight, but she has a little line that says, I'm sending this when it's convenient for me, but do not feel like you have to respond until morning. And or it's something of that nature. Because you see your boss emailing you at 2 a.m. and you're thinking, oh my gosh, they expect me to be on at 2 a.m. So again, and that is communication, right? That's adding the resilience that, oh, I don't have to respond. So you're managing their expectation that way too. And then when you think about resilience too, I have a program called Where'd My Well-Being Go and How to Find It. And it's so popular because everybody has these dips in well-being, right? That can make you say, why am I working here? Why do I want this job? This is too much. And so really looking at, you know, what would nurture them. It's okay to not be okay. I know that's just a cliche saying, but if you can make it safe for people to say what they need, whether it's anonymously in a survey or whatever, and then, you know, maybe a 5 minute, what do they call it? A micro break, allowing for micro breaks can make a difference. Having some well-being practices, you know, I was with an ad agency that had a nap room, if you can imagine that, because they did have to work long hours at times. And so, you know, what are you doing to nurture yourself as the leader and modeling it and nurture the staff so that they can be effective, so they could do hard things? Because it's hard not to do, you know, not to be resilient. It's hard to be resilient, but which hard do you want? Let's do the hard things that make for a better life for all of us.
Now I need to ask this question. Sorry, it's a bit personal, but you are for a lot of us a role model, keynote speaker. You wrote a book. You're doing consulting, and you are always also in the top CX experts worldwide, global gurus, and so on. What are the practices that you personally are using and leveraging to ensure your well-being, to have this energy to be always top of mind when you're having discussion with your customers?
Oh, thank you for asking. So on a personal note, I used to be allergic to exercise. I didn't want to do it. But I realized for me to be at the top, you know, to really be able to be strong physically and mentally, I need to exercise. So I am at the gym 4 days a week, minimum, mostly 5. And that's something I do for me. And then also do the nurture part. So you do the hard workout, and then they have the dry sauna. And I'm like, I'm going to do that for myself. At first, I didn't want the time. Why do I want to take another 10 minutes? I'm busy. No, I need to do that for myself. So that self-care is such an important thing. Because when I work hard and I am very committed and I have multiple clients. So it can get overwhelming at times if I don't keep the things that, you know, eating healthy, getting a good night's sleep, which also, you know, meant for me to take my phone and put it away so that I'm not scrolling at night to, you know, entertain myself till too late at night. And sometimes I'll slip up and I will get that phone out. I'm like, what am I doing? A good question I ask myself is, what's important now? What's important now? Or another way to say it is, what's my next right step? Because when I ask myself that, I'll be, well, it's not what I'm doing. And as soon as I'm aware, awareness is everything. You can't change what you're not aware of. So when I ask myself, what's important now? Or what's my next right step? I'll have an answer. And then I can go to that answer, but we need to have our awareness so that we do those things. And then for me, the other thing is integrity. If I say I'm going to do it, I am going to do it. So I need to really manage before I say I'm going to do something. Can I do it in the time I'm saying? Do I, you know, really decide so that I don't let them down and I don't let me down? So there's a few things.
Thank you very much for sharing also this suggestion that we can learn from and we can leverage. I'm sure the audience would really appreciate. And we spoke about customers, about employees, and we touched the topic leaders. What strategies can leaders use to help employees set boundaries with these difficult customers? Because sometimes they cannot do everything what they want without compromising the quality of what they're delivering.
I love this question because customers will bounce up against your boundaries. They will. And the more difficult they are, the more they're going to do it. And then you tend to have categories of customers, difficult customers. So you have the difficult customer that just is just relentless, but reasonable when they finally get to it. And then you got the ones that in their mind, hey, I'm going to argue till I get what I want. I don't care about the reason. I'm going to keep after it. I'm going to keep after it. I'm going to keep after it. And I know we've all probably experienced those. And so there is a four-step thing you can do that diffuses all that. And it just, it's wonderful. So let's say you have, I'm just going to create an example. Let's say you have a silver, gold, and platinum program where you get certain benefits. So you get certain things with each one. You get different services with each one. And your customer has the bottom one. And they come to you and they say, I want you to do some of the platinum services for me. Oh, okay, sir. We'll just have to add you into platinum. Nuh-uh. I want to stay in my silver. You're smiling. You've experienced this.
Yes. It's very unpolite. Sorry to interrupt you. I worked a long time in a credit card company and we had really this basic package. Silver, gold, and platinum. And we really did data analysis and we find out that the basics customers with the zero fee package wanted to have the platinum service. And they were always complaining and willing something in addition and something in addition, while the customer paying a lot for the platinum service were never complaining about the services. And this was really the big discussion. How can we deal with such setup? Because the customer with the basic product didn't pay the fee, but wanted the top service. And that's something that also the customer needs to understand. You are not a platinum customer. You cannot expect a platinum service because this is the deal.
Right, right. But how you say it makes all the difference. So if think of four steps, okay, four steps. The first one is, what is it you would like? You know, we ask the question. And then they say, I want that platinum program, but I don't want to pay for it. And so then again, we talked about this before, acknowledge their point of view. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it, but acknowledge. So you're saying that it would really benefit you to have the services from that platinum program. Yes, yes, it would. That's right. And this is when you switch to number three, which is what you can do. What you can do. You set the boundary and then talk about what you can do. And so that, what would that look like? That would be like, I wish I could give you those services. I really do. And that's a nice phrase. I wish I could. And another one is, even though you know that those services cost more, I can see how you'd want them. What I can do is upgrade you to the platinum program for X amount of money. And then you'd have it. They're going to balk. You know it. So you go to number four, which is back to step one. You go back to step one. So what would you like? And then you're going to be a broken record. You're going to go, what would you like? Acknowledge, set the boundary, go back to number one and go. And it usually takes about 3 to 4 times with the most difficult people. You're staying empathetic the whole time. And then they give up. Eventually they will. because you're not going to go off of that four-step script. And you're staying empathetic, so you're not being mean. And, you know, they're threatening and they're all this, but you're just saying what I can acknowledge and what I can do. And that's that.
Thank you very much for these incredible four steps. I add the one that you explained us at the beginning. Marilyn, you are right. Now we are coming to an end of this discussion, but in the extra time, in the last 3-4 minutes, I still have 3 questions for you. Fast sure. Forward, in 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
Well, there's a saying, when you make plans, God laughs. So, but I'll put on my futurist hat and tell you what I imagine. And because we're seeing AI just take off the way it is right now, it's going to be exponential. It's going to go so far. And I think it's going to get to the point where it's going to have human empathy built into it so that it will really help support that conversation, whether it's the AI in your ear telling you as a human what to say or it's saying it itself. I think we're going to get better communication because of that. And the other thing I think is going to happen, and we've seen the Internet of Things, it's here. Your refrigerator tells the manufacturer before you know that you need to have a new filter put in. I think that's going to go even further so that there's a level of proactiveness that is we haven't even seen at this point. And then we're seeing robots coming into play, right? So who knows? Maybe we'll even have robots cleaning our houses. I don't know. But it will be such a fascinating 10 years. I would love to meet back up with you, Greg, in 10 years, if not sooner, and just compare.
I really hope sooner than in 10 years from now, you're always sure. Welcome on this podcast. And based on that, also the question, what are your contact details? How can people reach you?
Well, you can reach me on LinkedIn at any time. Just look Marilyn Suttle. I'm out there. I put a lot of posts out every week. And so you could connect, direct message me there. Or you could go to my website, marilynsuttle.com. And there you'll see my books, my trainings, you know, different things I do, the articles. And you can connect with me through the contact page.
Thank you very much. And for everybody, as usual, you will find all this information also in the show notes. And now we are coming to the last question. Is Marilyn Golden Nugget? It's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience with.
Okay. I would like to talk about managing expectations. I think this is, you know, my definition of an upset customer is simply a person whose expectation isn't being met. And because of that definition, it's really a reframe that we can reframe how we're thinking. Because when I think that person's upset, then that what happens in our body, the fight, flight, freeze, you know, that whole, our human physiology goes into place and we got that little going on inside. But if they're upset and we reframe it to this is someone who has an expectation that isn't being met, we can come at it with a little more compassion. We can come at it not from an emotional, like, I have to defend myself or I have to, you know, explain, but more like, well, let's look at what needs to be done here. Is this expectation not met because we failed somewhere and we can fix this? Is this an unreasonable expectation that I can manage? Or do we need to start looking at the data, looking at the touch points along the way and see where breakdowns happen, where we're not preparing them for what might happen that if they knew they'd be calm. So I really think that one of the core pieces for us is to manage expectations for ourselves, for our customers, and for our employees.
Marilyn, thank you very much for this discussion. It was a great pleasure and you overachieved our expectation in this discussion, really exceed expectation. Please stay with me. To the audience for today, it's everything. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. Please feel free to contact Marilyn or to contact me. Feedback is a gift. Please provide us your feedback. If you have any questions, please reach out. Thank you very much and bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth, subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business, we are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you!